Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. One of my favorite sayings is, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Think about that for a second. If you bend a young tree, that's the direction it grows for the rest of its life. The same is true for our kids. The habits they form today determine the adults they become tomorrow. And here's the problem nobody wants to talk about. We're bending our kids in the wrong direction. Childhood obesity, diabetes, anxiety, depression, these aren't just future problems. They're happening right now, shaping the future of an entire generation. But what if I told you that the future of health isn't being written by medical journals, by 60-year-old doctors as we're used to, but teenagers who've cracked the code on what's really making our kids sick? Joining me today is two extraordinary young men, Abdullah and Zain Ansari, ages 17 and 14 years old. They've co-hosted over 200 podcast episodes interviewing best-selling authors, Harvard professors, and leading physicians, myself included. I had a great time on their show. They've spoken at the largest pediatric functional medicine conference in the world, and now they've written The Teen Health Revolution, a book that's about to change how we think about youth health forever, together with their younger brothers, Imad, who's 12, and Qasim, who's 10 years old. They've built a powerful movement through their family brand, Holistic Mom MD. If we want to bend that twig in the right direction, who better than the voices leading this revolution from the inside? Don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Joining me next are the powerhouse co-hosts behind the Holistic Kids Show podcast and co-authors of the groundbreaking book, Adam's Healing Adventures, Children's Health Book Series. Their credentials read like those of a seasoned professional, not high schoolers like we're used to seeing here. I got this bio that's so long, I had to shorten it for kids that aren't even 18 years old yet. They've been featured in the Emmy Award-winning Dr. Nandy Show, Bloom TV, and CBS Chicago. They were the first youth speakers at the 2024 International Institute of Functional Medicine and the 2025 Health Business Growth Collection, where they received the Up and Comer Award. Abdullah was spotlighted in the docuseries Young and Thriving as a young voice for mental health. And in October, the Holistic Kids took the stage at A4M, the world's largest pediatric functional medicine conference. Zain is set to speak on the TEDx stage in 2026, where he'll share his vision for transforming teen health. They're not just talking about health, they're living it and teaching it from the inside out. Their new book is called The Teen Health Revolution, Lifestyle Secrets to Optimize Your Mind, Body, and Soul. Welcome to the show, Abdullah and Zain Ansari.
Well, thank you so much. You're flattering us with that bio and that introduction. Well, honestly, it's our pleasure. We can't thank you enough for what you've done for us.
Oh, it's so great. You know, it's funny how we've never had to wait for kids to get out of high school before we started the show. So we had to go later. I asked the producers, is it the first time? He said, yeah, first time. So kudos. You are the youngest guest I've interviewed in 3 decades. You hold the record.
Wow. Okay.
Congrats. Congrats. And I have to share, when I was your age, I was eating Pop-Tarts and SpaghettiOs. It wasn't until my late 20s that I even started to learn anything about a healthy diet. What made you realize that kids your age desperately needed this information now?
So right now, the statistics are overwhelming. 1 in 2 kids have at least one persistent health issue. The CDC actually just came out and said that 1 in 3 teens have prediabetes. 1 in 10 U.S. children are dealing with ADHD or behavioral problem. 3/4 of adolescents right now are experiencing depression and anxiety. And actually, with terribly, 1 in 3 teen girls have seriously thought of suicide. And the problem is that these statistics are continuing to grow and grow and grow. And if we don't do something about this now, then what's going to happen to the next generation? What's going to happen to the next generation of doctors, of engineers, of lawyers, of businessmen, of entrepreneurs, of any construction workers, anything? If we are not taking care of our bodies and we're not healthy, we're never going to be able to achieve anything in our life. And as teens, we want to be able to take back control of our bodies, because if we don't do that, then we're never going to be able to reach our true potential. And now seeing our peers and classmates around us just decide to live blindly and mindlessly, eating whatever they can find to put into their mouth, just scrolling and taking whatever, like mindlessly consuming things visually, we're wasting our lives. And if we don't do something about it now, then we're going to regret it in the future. And that's why teens, we need to wake up.
Well said. What is the acronym REVOLUTION? I see that that's a nice acronym. Share what that stands for.
So the REVOLUTION is our acronym that is like, it's our main topic. It's what the book is all about. Really trying to really like make it easier for teens to understand health, because health is a really big topic. So each letter of the REVOLUTION goes for like a different topic. So like R is revolutionize the gut. E is eat real food. V, vanquish toxins. O, optimize stress management. L, love nature. U, unite with others. T, tech limits. I, invest in sleep. And O, open to gratitude. And N, navigate your decisions with mindfulness. So yeah, that's our acronym.
And so we use this acronym, the REVOLUTION, to help teens educate themselves. And then after they educate themselves, implement those key principles into their lives. And I don't know if you just heard the acronyms that the letters Zen went through. I'm pretty sure investing in sleep, uniting with others, nature, gratitude and purpose, mindfulness, I'm pretty sure they're all basically free and that anyone can do them. Mm-hmm. So we're not telling anybody, go take a magic supplement and you'll magically become better. But we're saying that there's simple lifestyle tips and tools that you can do to completely reverse your chronic disease. And me and Zan, we've seen it. Zan had, as anyone can say, you can talk about
yeah,
that.
My best friend, he threatened to kill me. So, I mean, this is like right after COVID. So everyone's brains is not working. And that's how I really saw that kids today, our brains are not working. And who knows, I don't want anyone to like live with these same like problems that like I did with this kid. So like if we really can help teens' brains understand their bodies and really heal and nourish themselves, then this world would be so much better.
And if Zan's friend was mindful and actually knowing how to control his thoughts, actually being able to heal his own brain, because right now, obviously, the mental health epidemic that's going on right now is terrible for teens and it's destroying a lot of teens' lives. But if, and I know it's shocking to a lot of people, but just doing simple lifestyle things and tools and applying easy things that anyone can do, we can shift and reverse this epidemic that continue to get worse unless we do something now. The chronic disease epidemic that we're dealing with right now, we can also reverse, and so many kids can start living healthy lives, not having to wake up every single day with eczema, allergies, sinus issues, diabetes, obesity. Teens can finally actually live their life like they want to and they need to. And the problem is a lot of teens, they feel like that there's no hope. That once you are diagnosed with diabetes, once you're at a certain point, that you have this chronic disease, that you're going to be living with that for your entire life. But no, that's not how it's going to be. You have a chance to change your life for the better. And it all starts now. And it all starts today and changing your lifestyle and actually putting in that effort to become better mind, like physically, mentally, and even spiritually.
Yeah. Well said. I just read a study published last month in JAMA, and they looked at 12,000 kids aged 9 through 13, and they found that those spending 73 minutes a day on social media had 35% increase in depression. So I want to chat about that. I know social media has become this addiction for our young generation in this tech crazy world. What are some tips you can share on how they can break away and live a happier life?
You're right. And when I go to high school, I walk the halls. People are on their phones. They're constantly comparing each other. Like, it's like everyone is fighting for the same amount of popularity. But the thing is, while doing this, they're losing what really makes them them. So they lose their like personality, or they lose their happiness because they're trying to constantly be like someone else, constantly be more than someone else. And it's the pressure that's being put on a lot of kids to always be on social media to maybe stay updated or just to stay very popular and very cool. But really, like, if you notice it, it's really sad.
And plus, let's be real, a lot of teenagers that come and tell us, like, we want to get off social media because we see what it's doing to us. But all of our friends are on social media. Like, we don't know what to do without social media. We need to go on our phones. And actually, right now, statistics have come out saying that 91% of teens own a smartphone by the age of 14. And we have this entire universe in our pockets. And last thing, I'm pretty sure teens, while we're still developing, I'm pretty sure it's not healthy to have the entire universe in our pockets with the temptations and the challenges. And right now, what I like to tell people is that right now we're living on a leash. 3 out of 4 Americans have confessed to using their phones on the toilet. And 96% of Gen Zers actually say that they can't even go to the bathroom without taking their phones or using their phones. And this is just crazy. Like, why can't you go to the bathroom without taking your phone? We've become so dependent on them that once we go into adulthood, we think that, oh, you know, this phone addiction, and that's what it is, this addiction that we have to our phones, is going to go away. When in reality, it's going to affect our adulthood. It's going to affect our relationships. It's going to affect our mental health, our physical health. Actually, social media, like you just mentioned, has been actually linked to poor physical health among college students, where the excessive social media was found to have higher levels of CRP, which is a blood marker of inflammation that actually predicts chronic diseases like heart disease, cardiovascular disease, and stroke. And social media,
yeah,
like you said, and I've seen it in my classmates, and it hurts to see, it's affecting our mental health.
Yeah, you're bringing up that they have to bring their cell phone into the bathroom with them. That's not really the number one problem we have. It's number two. It's the number two worst problem. Leave your phone out there. That's such a good point. I have to tell you, though, when I was your age, if I misbehaved, my punishment was being sent to my room, isolated, no friends, no fun. Today, it's completely flipped. Parents are punishing their kids by not allowing them to stay in their rooms, forcing them to go outside and play. So kids, they're spending, like you said, hours and hours locked inside playing video games, social media, TV. I'm wondering, what do you think that, do you think maybe lack of sunshine and fresh air is maybe affecting kids' health?
Definitely. And to understand maybe why kids are so obsessed with this is to understand that kids hate boredom. And especially when the phone came, they're like, I can just open this phone. I know the password. I can do whatever I want with it. It's just a boredom fixer. So obviously kids are going to hate boredom, but when they see this phone, they're going to be obsessed over it. Because whenever they're like bored, even for a second, they're going to take it out and they can do whatever they want. Teens and kids, when they do this, they're not socializing, because before, when someone's bored, oh, they might like talk to someone, or they're going to go outside, go play. But that's not really happening anymore, because kids and teens, they find this technology to be more fun, more like dopamine.
No, like I don't, if you picked up a phone and if you've ever scrolled for 2 hours and just wasted time like that, you know, you don't feel good after those 2 hours.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
Especially like I know teens, and teens especially, when they first get their phone, I know that kids and like friends and like classmates who've stayed up until 2 or 3 a.m. on their phone scrolling. And when they come in the morning, I ask them like, they're like, oh, I went to sleep at 2 a.m. I was like, why? He's like, well, I was on my phone. He's like, what were you doing on your phone? I was like, I don't even know what I was doing on my phone. And we're just, and actually, studies and science has come out that those 2 hours of just mindless scrolling is destroying our mental health. It's increasing the risk of anxiety, depression. That's why kids and teens are dealing with more anxiety, with more depression. Like I mentioned, 3/4 of adolescents have depression or anxiety. And the scrolling is only going to continue to make it worse and worse. And the problem is that we're stuck in this cycle. When we have anxiety, when we're anxious, or when we're depressed, kids decide to go back to their phones, because sometimes we feel like that's what everyone else is doing. It's become normalized. And we need to break that cycle. We need to start waking teens up and telling and showing them that the more you do this to yourself, the worse it's going to get. And nobody wants to live a life being anxious and depressed. There's always hope. And it starts with this tiny thing in our hands that most people sadly can't even live without.
Yeah, so true. I know you guys have interviewed over 200 experts on your podcast, including some real heavy hitters in functional medicine and wellness, with so much conflicting information, because I hear it too. One guest says one thing, one says the other. But is there one common belief that the majority of experts agree on that you've heard them say over and over? Is there one specific thing that we all kind of say, hey, thumbs up, I agree with that?
From all the people that we've ever interviewed, they always talk about food. Food as medicine.
Food is the information that we're putting into our body that dictates every single thing that we're doing in our body.
And then also, food makes up every single cell of our body. Everything we eat actually plays a larger role in how we function. We think that the way that we feel mentally, physically, sometimes, oh yeah, no, it's just something that happens. Sometimes you feel bad. You can ask yourself, after you have that ultra processed foods, tons of McDonald's, or you have that one like food that you know is bad for you, I'm pretty sure it doesn't feel good. Your stomach is like killing you. You're thinking to yourself, like, why did I even have this food? But this food that we eat actually plays a larger role in our body. And studies have come out, and I know we just talked about mental health, but studies have come out that and said that actually the gut is our second brain. I'm pretty sure 90% of neurotransmitters are actually made in the gut. What we eat directly affects how we think, our memory, our thoughts, our actions, our mental health, and it's all connected. And that's why when we tell people, you're doing all this stuff, you're exercising, you're sleeping well, you're doing even therapy, or you're going to this place, you're doing that, you're taking these medications, you're taking these pills, but you're deciding to put this junk into your body. We actually interviewed someone and they told us, if you put junk into your body's going to work like junk. And so that's the philosophy that we've found 100% true, that our brains and bodies right now are working like junk. And that's because right now we're addicted to ultra processed foods. We're addicted to foods that are only going to destroy our immune system, destroy our body, and make us sicker and sicker and sicker. Here's that.
Well said. I found most of my guests, including your mom, all agree that sugar is public enemy number one. And if there's one group that loves candy, pastries, and sweets the most, it's kids. What do you guys eat to satisfy your sweet tooth without sacrificing your good health?
Yeah, you're so right. And like when you talked about how kids are so obsessed with candy and sweets and all of these like really ultra processed foods, it's because going back to kids, they don't want to be so bored, right? They're addicted to this because they think that it's super sweet. It's so tasty. I just want to have more and more and more and more and more. And they really just like stop having all these other much better foods that are like good for you, because these candies, these ultra processed foods have been marketed and they have been made to make kids addicted.
And plus, you might think that we get this a lot. They're like, oh, my life must be so depressing. You guys must live under a rock. You guys don't have any like sugar, no, nothing. You guys don't have anything sweet. And when in reality, we actually feel better. And also, this is a big misconception, because we swap out what we used to love. Like my favorite combination, Fanta and Hot Cheetos. My favorite. And we just found swaps. Right now, there's natural candies out there. And that's what we push for. Find things that are natural. Read ingredients. Look at, does this ingredient look like it was made in a science lab, in a chemistry lab? Or is it something that I can actually pronounce? And once we start reading the ingredients, figuring out what we're actually putting into our body, and there's this one brand called Yum Earth, right? We brought it to our friends and they started trying it and they're like, wow, this is actually better than Skittles. Mm-hmm. Because it's real food. It's not chemicals. It's not a chemically changed substance with a bunch of extra artificial flavors that was made in a lab. Mm-hmm. It's real food.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, a lot, you don't always have to eat lots of vegetables and proteins and nuts and stuff. There are like so much other also like healthier, maybe like fruits are really healthy. And there are so much different types of fruits that all have these different colors and these different tastes. And they all also have different things to help you with your body. Like, for example, red lowers inflammation. Orange helps your reproductive and eye health. Yellow, digestive health. And it just, the list goes on. Every single color has its own different power, yeah, to your body. And there's so much different fruits. I heard that there's like 7,000 different types of apples. I mean, that's just an apple that maybe you think, okay, just basic apple, but there's 7,000 that might all taste different or look different. I mean, that's so fun. Like, why don't we just have more of these, like, real, like, fruits are really, they're really tasty. So just like retraining kids' taste buds to eat really healthy, but still having fun.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that you said two words that even adults don't follow. I love you're pushing it for the teens out there. Read ingredients. People, the kids usually read the front, and boy, those are colorful. They got fruits, they got cartoons. They're marketing that, well, give me, you know what I'm saying? They don't flip it around and read the fine print. So I'm glad you brought that up. And also toxins. We hear a lot of that from adult point of view, everything from the microplastics, pesticides in our food, those forever chemicals. That's something teenagers need to be concerned about as well. And you've interviewed guests on that. What's your views on all these hidden toxins?
All these toxins that are in our life, we think that when we put on that chemical, and maybe for like some guys, when we put on that cream for our acne, we think that's going to do something better. It's going to help us. Or when we do, if we put on this perfume or we put on this lotion or shampoo that says 100% going to make your skin shine, or that in our shampoo we put on our hair that says, oh, you're going to have the strongest hair ever. These things that we're putting on our body are actually making our body work less, work worse. We're putting all these chemicals on our body. Actually, these toxins that are in these chemicals, studies have come out that they can even affect three generations simultaneously, because toxins are everywhere. And we've normalized the fact that putting chemicals on your body is fine. Or in reality, when you think about it, chemicals on our body? Who puts chemicals on your body? Yeah. And these chemicals are actually destroying our gut microbiome. They're destroying our health. They're contributing to the rising of chronic disease. I mean, toxins can affect the proteins that actually control gene expression, as well as other mechanisms that are like involved in controlling gene function. And they affect our liver, they affect our skin. And the problem is that we think that if it was so bad for us, wouldn't the government do something about this? Well, actually, currently, the U.S. imports about 45 million pounds of synthetic chemicals daily. And about 1,000 new chemicals are put into use every single year. And only 5 chemicals have been banned in the U.S. When in Europe, in Canada, around the other world, these chemicals that America and the U.S. is letting in is being banned in other countries. And so we need to start taking charge of this. And right now, as teens, we're being manipulated. These advertising companies, they're putting, oh, this, oh, that. And we just might like blindly following the herd mentality, doing whatever these channels and these corporations and industries is telling us to do, and not thinking for ourselves. And that's only causing us to get worse and worse and worse, and for them to make more money and more money and more money.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about like what is humans are not supposed to be exposed to this much toxins as we are today. The average person is exposed to more than 80,000 toxins, toxic chemicals a day. This is craziness, because we're go from minimal toxins like our body is able to handle to more than 80,000 toxic chemicals a day.
And also, I just want to add, because we dump this on a lot of people, and then they become like depressed. There's no hope that when there's so many chemicals around us. When in reality, it's so easy. Just eat natural foods, use natural products. We sometimes use like air filters, decrease the EMR exposure, you know, limit plastic use, detox even from technology. Like you can use that as like detox. And poop, pee, sweat, all of this are natural ways to detoxify and help yourself. And so I know that's like the best thing on this podcast, but
yeah, pooping.
Yeah. And it's so simple. Everyone does it. And it's so beneficial for us.
That's so true. Zane, now you're speaking at the TEDx in 2026 without giving away your whole talk there. What's one idea that you can share with the listeners?
My TED talk is all about really getting back to community, getting back to mindfulness, gratitude, and community, because those are what us teens specifically have lost. And mindfulness, community, and gratitude are things that can help us really get there. Because mindfulness, we can really think about ourselves. We can really think about what's going on around us in the world. gratitude is to just stop comparing, constantly comparing everyone with everyone. We really need to understand and really love ourselves. Think about like things that we're grateful for, because we have so much that we're grateful for, but we just constantly go to how much another person is better. And that's really reckoning for mental health. And last is community. Community, it's wherever, if you live somewhere, there's always going to be a community. But what we're doing is we're just siloed in our rooms, on our phones. We're only really texting. We're not like getting out, saying hey to our neighbors. Really being more involved in the community is what's going to build those connections that who are your people who you actually know.
That's why we like give like this. We give like, we paint the scene. It sounds, it like seems really dark, but it's the reality where like we're only communicating with our thumbs in a dark room with like a bright screen in our face, just staring at a screen for hours upon hours. And as depressing that this as this sounds, this is the reality of what's going on in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I know, Abdullah, you've often featured Young and Thriving as a voice for mental health. I'm curious, why did you decide to speak publicly about mental health? And what do you want to share with teenagers that may be listening that they need to know about their mental struggles?
First of all, there's always hope. Hope, hope, hope. Because a lot of teens right now, we feel like that we're in the darkest of depths, that there's no way of getting out, that we're in this dark abyss that's just surrounding us, and that the light is too far away to reach. When in reality, just by doing things day by day, taking it step by step, we can heal ourselves. And I think the best thing and the most amazing thing for teens that are dealing with mental health, if you're dealing with a mental health problem or issue, or you feel like you're just not yourself at times, first of all, get help, ask someone, and that, talk to somebody. But second of all, start to find your purpose. Gratitude. We love gratitude. Actually, gratitude has been showing to shift that negative mindset that a lot of us are living in to a positive subconscious that can help govern our thoughts and actions. Just wake up every single day. We like to say 10 things that you're grateful for. But if you can't do 10 things, do 3 things. If you can't do 3 things, 1 thing is even fine. Anything, just say, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for my mom. I'm grateful for my dad. I'm grateful for the food I eat. Even as simple as, I'm grateful for my belly button. Just anything.
Yeah, so true.
Every single day, do that. Start to be more mindful about what you're doing. Whenever you know, example, are in that low, don't just pick up the phone to self-medicate yourself to get lost in that, because that's only going to make it worse.
Yeah, that's great. I always use, instead of saying have to, I always say I get to. I change those two words. So I have to get up in the morning. Oh, no, I get to. I have to go to work. No, I get to. It's exciting. It's about purpose. So if you've changed that outlook, that's such a good attitude, is looking for purpose. And that. Talk to us about diet. I know you've interviewed, like I have, the vegans, the paleos, the ketos, and now we got this carnivore diet advocates. What have you found to be the best diet that works for your family?
So diet, whenever you hear diet, it's like a crazy topic. There are so much weird diets, and there are so much like diets that could be helpful to some people but are really bad for other people. And when someone hears diet, they're like, okay, I'm going to go super healthy, but how do I do this? There's so much diets. Now we're getting overwhelmed in all these different types of diets. We got the keto, the paleo, the Mediterranean. We have only high carbohydrates, lectin diet. There's so much of these diets, and we're really losing the idea that we're just supposed to be being healthy. And how do we be healthy? We just need to eat real food.
Eating natural food. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Natural. There you go.
Whole natural food is what's really going to help you.
Like, you can't do the keto diet and then go have ultra processed food as a keto diet.
Yeah.
That's just not how that works.
Or do the fasting and they order a pizza after you're done.
Like, what kind of is common? That's like it should be common sense not to do that. But, you know, I guess.
Yeah, that's actually. Hey, talk to us before we get out of here. I got to talk about purpose, because you guys are really focused on that. When I was a teen, I had so many dreams and aspirations. But nowadays, so much of our younger generation aren't tapped into achieving their full potential. And these are our future CEOs. Why is finding purpose in life so important?
As teens, we are maybe constantly around a bunch of adults who are trying to just tell us what to do. They're maybe trying to it's usually for a good reason, like tell us to do our work, tell us to get up in the morning. But a lot of times, us teens, we might not feel like it's not really our life anymore. And with social media and everything, like being an influencer is probably the biggest thing that kids want to be. And that's, I mean, being an influencer is good because we're influencers here, but we're actually influencing someone. If you're just talking about your day today, it's not really going to be as much influencing to a bunch of people who don't really know you.
So as long as you have, you go on, you do, you influence people for a purpose. A lot of people, we just go and we go on our phones, we go on social media, we don't do anything with purpose anymore. And that's why even building purpose in simple things, when you wake up in the morning, wake up with a purpose. Like Zan, he gets up, he habit stacks, he purposely goes outside. You know, Zan, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I habit stack. So I wake up in the morning, get my early sunshine while taking deep breaths and looking really around while drinking water. And I'm just hitting so much different targets with just doing this easy 5-minute thing.
And the reason I brought this up is because if we want to have purpose, we need to start being mindful about what we're doing. Because we will never have purpose if we continue to follow life, like I like to say, like just herd mentality. If we just continue following what everyone else says, we need to start taking charge of our own lives. We need to start changing now. We need to start making those changes ourselves. Because like our mom used to say, no one else is going to be able to come save you. You have to save yourself first. And that's where it comes. And then like we say, mindfulness, gratitude, building that positive attitude, reframing your stress management. Think about all the ways our lives could be better. Like, how can we improve the world? How can we change someone else's life? How can we do better? How can we be a better person? And if we're spending more of our day aligning ourselves with these values and purpose, imagine where the next generation can go. Imagine what we can do with our lives. We don't want to be 10 years, 20 years from now. No teen wants to just live sitting on a couch, just playing video games all day, not having anything achieved in their life. And sometimes things don't go your way. But if, like they say, if not, life knocks you down and all you can do is get back up and keep trying harder and harder. And that's what it is. And at the end of it, it's all about that mindset and taking care of yourself as well and making sure that you know the direction you're going. And at least if you don't know that direction, then at least try to change your life, even if it's one simple change at a time.
Yeah, that's so true. I know you've guys spoken at major medical conventions alongside world-renowned doctors and researchers who've been in the field for 40 years. What's that like walking into a room as the youngest people there? Were you nervous? I mean, were your knees shaking or you just feel right at home?
So we're a little nervous. I mean, yeah, who wouldn't be nervous?
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that we're the youngest people there also justifies why if we mess up something that it makes sense, right?
But also it motivates us as well. Because we have a message for that next generation. And we all have a mission. And when we walk into that room, doesn't matter what age you are, we all have a mission to help that next generation, to help teens become better people, to help teens take back control of the in charge of their own bodies and health. And it doesn't matter, like Imad, Gossam is 10 years old. Imad, our other brother, is 12 years old. And we are all there for a purpose. And because we want to change other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And that's what motivates us. And that's what keeps us going, even if maybe no other teens are doing this, not as much as we would like to see. Mm-hmm. But who else is going to be that ripple effect for the world? And if it starts with just us, we want more people to start standing up for this change, more young people and more kids mm-hmm. and teens to start spreading this in their schools and creating that ripple effect through cities, through communities, through neighborhoods, to school, through schools, through and eventually nations and eventually the entire world.
Yeah, because we are going to be the leaders of our next generation. So why can't we see more teens really come to these conventions? Because we are the next generation. So there's a bunch of these adults who are like worrying about our generation. But really, we are supposed to be the ones who are supposed to be really worried about our generation. Because it's going to be our generation who's going to be suffering.
Yeah, well said. I know you mentioned being an influencer is important, but for the right reasons. I love what you do because you're promoting health and fitness and purpose. But man, I had a patient whose kid dropped out of high school because he's making a big bucks dancing on TikTok. And I'm thinking, one day those hips aren't going to work. He ain't going to be dancing. He's going to not have a job or a future or purpose. So I love what you're doing because, you know, health is here to stay. His hips won't be. He won't be able to be spinning on the ground much longer. That's so great. Hey, in the 2 minutes we have left, is there anything like you'd like to share that we didn't cover? Maybe another help tip for teens? Let's start with you, Abdullah. Anything that you'd like to end with?
I'll go with just starting step by step. It's really like overwhelming when you can maybe like want to go from eating really bad one day or living the worst lifestyle to eating perfectly the next day. And when you can do things step by step, then you can develop a habit. When we can develop a habit, it'll actually stick. And we can slowly retrain our taste buds, retrain what we do, like retrain our routine so it fits this. I mean, that's how we're here. We didn't just go from kids who eat terrible to now teens who are really trying to empower the next generation because we went step by step. We started with trying to like just help ourselves learn about ourselves when it comes to what we should eat. And then our podcasts, which we could learn from others about the lifestyle and what other people, like experts, think.
And I think for me, parents, if you're listening to this, educate yourself, please, because you guys are our role models. And as much as we don't want to admit it, if we see you deciding to eat ultra-processed foods, having an unhealthy diet, then most likely we're just going to do the same thing as well. And if you're telling us, don't do this, don't do that, and you're doing the opposite of that, we probably won't listen to you. So educate yourselves and then teach us the why. That's what our mom did. When we were asking, why aren't we having this? Why aren't we having that? She taught us, this is why this is bad for you. That red 40, that yellow 5 that you're putting in your body can actually cause cancer. You don't want to have cancer, do you? And so just teaching us the why, educating yourself first, so that at the end of the day, we can become better, you can become better, and you guys are our role models, and you guys will be the ones that can help build us like Huey started. I'm kind of bringing it all back together, but like you said inside the beginning of the podcast, that you have to build the tree and grow that tree upright. Otherwise, if you grow it bent, it's going to keep going on. Educate yourself so that you can grow us and build us up to be upright. Otherwise, once we get into adulthood, it's going to be a lot harder and it's not going to be good for us in the future. So please, please, please educate ourselves and teach us.
That's great. In other words, walk the talk, parents, you know, don't preach and not practice. So that's great advice that you're the examples. And hopefully that little light bulb off with a lot of parents listening. Fantastic. I enjoyed having you guys on the show. And I commend you for helping the younger generation build a stronger foundation, which is so important. So you're very unique. And like I said, you hold the record of the youngest guest ever. I've been doing this for over 30 years on this show and other shows. And, you know, I've been on the air when there was reel to reel. There wasn't even any freaking internet. It was so, and you hold the record. So kudos to you guys. The book is called The Teen Health Revolution, Lifestyle Secrets to Optimize Your Mind, Body, and Soul. You can get your copy at theteenhealthrevolution.com, and you can check out their podcast at theholistickidsshow.com, and be sure and follow them on Facebook and Instagram at The Holistic Kids Show. For my daily health tips, be sure and follow me on Facebook and X at Dr. David Friedman, on Instagram at Dr. D. Friedman. If you heard something today that would benefit somebody you know, which I'm sure you did, send them a link to this podcast at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, and be sure and explore our podcast library and share these segments with friends, family, and colleagues. I always say sharing is caring. Drive that into your soul because you don't want to keep all this great information to yourself. Don't be selfish. You can also subscribe to our show on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Stay tuned and stay well and focus on that revolution.